Again, it's so good to be here with you this morning. We're going to continue our series of Faith Over Fear. How many of you have been experiencing faith over fear in these last months and weeks? Good. Good. It's good for us to stretch and to grow our faith. Today, we're going to talk about know him, love them. And we're in Mark chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, you can pull out your Bibles, whether digital, physical, or just up on screen. We're going to be in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Now, I don't know if you're a fan of tattoos or not. I'm kind of just in the middle. It doesn't bother me anyway. But this portion of scripture is tattooed on my brother's arm. He got it in a little fish. He put it on his arm because this is how he wants to live his life. So the backstory, we have this scribe, this gentleman that knows the law. He has come to Jesus. It's almost like in this scene, we have Jesus is in the area of the temple. This is his last 7 days. So this is Jesus's final week. It's the final countdown. You know, so this is that song's kind of in the background right now of what's going on. All right, but maybe more of a little bit of a Rocky style beat going on, because Jesus has these guys that are just coming up to him and basically just kind of peppering him with questions. Hey, Jesus, what about that? Hey, Jesus, what about this? What about that, Jesus? Because these teachers of the law, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these guys are trying to catch Jesus and trip him up. Because the religious leaders are looking for a way to snag Jesus and say, aha, we got you. Let's throw him out of town. Put him to death, kind of thing. So we pick the story up here in this portion of scripture. In verse 28, it says this. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him this. Now get this. This teacher of the law, he was not there the entire time. It's just like this guy was walking down the streets. He heard this conversation going on. He's like, hey, well, this kind of interests me. This guy's given some good answers. So it's not like this guy had been participating in this barrage of questions to try to trip Jesus up, but he just happened to be strolling by. He was like a bystander, just walking by. He goes, oh, I got a question for you, Jesus, because he liked the answers that Jesus had been given. So he asked him, of all the commandments, which is most important? Now let's realize the Mosaic law. Yes, we have the Ten Commandments. How many commandments are in the Ten Commandments? 10. Thank you. Thank you. That was an easy question, I hope. But guess how many laws they actually had after the Ten Commandments? 613. Imagine memorizing 613 laws. Well, we got the first Ten Commandments. I can't even remember all those right now. Love God. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Have no one else before me. There's four that deal with God and then six that deal with others. So this guy is, in a sense, coming to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, 613, which one's number one? I mean, I'm a sports fan, okay? Any other sports fans in here? A few, okay. I listen to sports radio. Oftentimes, I'm into American football. I'm baseball, basketball, World Cup. Okay, we're all familiar with World Cup, right? After the World Cup happens in football, what's usually the topic of conversation? Who's really number one? All right, this year, say, I can't remember who the last World Cup winner was. Who was it? Argentina. Argentina just won. Are they really number one in the world? Okay, they're number one. No. They're number one in the world right now because they won. Who's number two? Who's number three? Who's number four? And these sports writers, they all always come out with lists. Here's my list of the top five. Here's my list of the bottom five. You know, I see that with American football all the time. Hey, who's the best player? You know, the best player in the world. Is it Messi? Is it Ronaldo? Is it this other person? Who's the best? You always get these top 10 lists, top 5 lists, or best top 3. And so that's basically what this guy's doing. Hey, Jesus, I'm writing my article today. What's the number one commandment? We got 613. What are you going to put first, Jesus? So Jesus, this is Jesus' reply in verse 29. Said, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. The second, the guy asked for one, and Jesus gave him two. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no one but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Goodness gracious. If we didn't know any better, it's almost like this guy was a little bit sarcastic. Good job, teacher. It's like, oh, goodness gracious. You are right. If this guy only knew who he was talking to. Verse 34. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, so Jesus thought this teacher of the law answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that I would share it in the way that you want this morning. God, not my desires, not my will, but your will be done. Please, I ask these things in your name. Amen. It's an incredible portion of Scripture. An incredible portion of Scripture. Now I'm going to go against all rules of communication this morning. I'm going to give you the end before we begin. See, church, this scribe initially asked Jesus, what is the most important law? Mark 12:28. This term is taken from the Greek word protos, which means foundational or principle, implying the law from which all others came. So what's the foundation? What's the essential? What's the beginning part of all of this? And Jesus, in his response, he says the greatest law or greater. So this Greek word is megas. So, you know, that's mega. How many mega sounds what? Big, yes, big. In this case, it refers to a law that is greater in scope and degree. So it's the biggest, baddest. Oh, that's what I think when I think mega. But it's the biggest law. It's the one that encompasses everything. These laws are the basis for all the Mosaic law as well as the prophets. So Jesus gave a three-part answer here. Basically said, know God. You should love God, and then you need to love them. Now, as a pastor, as someone that spent 4 years going to Bible college, I could have easily said, yeah, what's the greatest law? Love God, love others, right? But as I studied this, I realized I've missed a third of everything. The initial aspect is that we are to know God. Then we can love God. Then we can love others. It isn't just that the first law we need to consider encompasses everything that God asks us to do. So in this, what this scribe is asking, and Jesus' response is, Jesus says, hey, you know what the greatest thing to do is? You got to know God first. Then you can love him. Then you can love others. Now, if you're taking notes, you can be done and put it away if you'd like. But now I'm going to dive in a little bit more this morning. When Jesus says there in verse 30, he says this, the most important one, or the greatest, Jesus answered, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jesus is going back and quoting a portion of scripture, the Shema prayer. I hope I say that right. It's a Hebrew, a Jewish prayer. Did I say it right, Marvin? Shema, thank you. Shema prayer. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5, it says this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Jesus is tying it back to the Old Testament teaching, where with these guys, the Shema prayer was the Jews, they would recite this morning and night. And the following scriptures say, hey, recite this and go over this with your children so the next generation would know and understand. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. We need to first hear and understand He is our God. He is one. There is no other God besides Him. Oftentimes, we just think, okay, we got to love God and love others, but how can we love someone we don't even know? I mean, I've shared the story, and I got to reshare the story several different times about how I met my wife this last week. My wife, if you don't know, well, she had to take off today to go Torino, for work, so she's not here this morning. But she is a Swedish gal. She's from just above Göteborg in Trollhättan, so the west coast, as her and another guy at church that moved to Cyprus, as they used to say, the west coast is the best coast. Okay. My mind is going all these different places this morning. She's a Swede, and we met in Montana. People are like, how did you meet a Swede in Montana? It's a great question. But we get to share these stories about how we met. And so I met her because she helped start a church that became a youth pastor at. And if you know a lot of my story, I had a 2.5-year relationship in college with this gal. For the first 2 years, I thought I was going to marry. But then as we neared end, it's not that she was a terrible person. She's a fantastic individual, a great person. But it just, something wasn't sitting right in my heart. And I realized that this was not the person that God had for me. So I had to break the relationship off. And then, you know, I did the simple mistake that so many people do. I jumped back onto another relationship. Shouldn't have done that. Nothing bad. But I realized that summer after I graduated, God, I need to just stick with you. I need to set my heart right. I need to set my priorities right. God, it's just you and I. End up at this church that she had started, and guess what? She was roughly my age. And so was her roommate, and no one else. So what is this? The new youth pastor that comes to church who's single, and we got some single ladies at the church. What do you think everybody started doing? Matchmaking. When it came time for her green card visa renewal application, what do you think people started doing? Marry that girl. Keep her here in the United States. It's just Jesus and I. It's just Jesus and I. It's not that my eyes didn't notice her. It's not that my heart didn't flutter at times. But it's just Jesus and I. Because I needed a focus. I needed to fall in love with Him all over again. And in that process, God opened up my heart in getting to know her outside of any romantic intentions. I got to know Angela and who she was as an individual, in groups, as a ministry partner, because she said, she never asked. She said, I'm helping you with this youth ministry, like it or not. As many of you know, that's typical of Swedish ladies. They tell you what they're going to do, and you just have to live with it.
And it was great. I got to know her before I ever really truly developed romantic feelings for her. See, church, we have to come to the understanding. In order for us to truly fall in love with God, we have to get to know him first. In order for me to really fall in love with Angela and not just become infatuated with her, was I had to get to know her before romantic feelings started developing. The Bible says, Jesus says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. I wait for you. The Heavenly Father longs to get to know us. In the Old Testament, that was not even possible. Only the priests could go into the presence of the Lord. But because of the work of Jesus on the cross, that curtain that separated, it was 6 feet deep of curtain that separated God's presence from our presence, was ripped and torn in half. There was no human possible way for this curtain to be torn in half. And yet God did it because of the death of Jesus on the cross. That moment he exhaled his last breath and passed away, that curtain torn. Why? Because now Jesus' work on the cross for our forgiveness of sins set us free to be in the presence of the Heavenly Father. We now have the access and opportunity to get to know him on a personal relationship. It is not some priest or form of priest that says, hey, this is who God is. This is what you get to know about him. Here are the 10 commandments, and now we're going to help you out because you guys can't understand 10, so we're going to give you 613 more. No. You and I and you. I know I said it all wrong, English teachers. We get to know him ourselves. Yes, it's true. You don't have to come to church anymore to get to know God. You can pick up your Bible. You can pick up your digital Bible. You can go on podcasts. You can go on all kinds of things, and you can get to know God for yourself. And guess what, church? You should. You should be getting to know God. You should be, as Jesus said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. He is our God. He is one. Church, I want to challenge you. Get to know God. It's interesting that to note that the greatest commandment doesn't start with loving God and others, but with hear. The first principle we need to obey is to hear and understand and accept that the Lord is our God. And he is one. To know God, to understand and accept and to live out of the knowledge that he is God and there is no other is the foundation of love. So Jesus, his response, hear God. Hear, O Israel, we got to know God. And then we got to love. I need to speed up a little bit this morning. So the word love in this, there's several different types of love in the Bible, and then in this case, it's the agape love. This love is a choice. Love God. It's your choice to love him. God's not going to force it on you. He's not going to make you love. If I was forced to love my wife, I don't know how much love there would really be. I get to love my wife. I choose to love my wife on a daily, minute-by-minute, moment-by-moment basis. It is my choice to love her. It is to choose to see them in a favorable light, to choose to delight in the individual, to choose to act faithfully on their behalf. So when we get to agape love God, it means we choose to see him as honorable, true, and loving. It means we trust him and respond in that trust through obedience. We choose our love for God. And Jesus added some nuance here to this word love, to this idea of loving God. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Four areas. Humanity classifies ourselves, well, we got spirit, soul, and body. So body is what? Our physical body. All right? We understand that. Physical being. Soul encompasses several different areas. We have our heart, which is often referred to as our emotions. How many of you have emotions in here? I do. My emotions probably are more like this. Some of you are more like this. We have our mind. How many of you feel like you're an intelligent being?
How many of you love reading books? There we go. Those are the intellectuals. I wish I could read. I read more books, but I don't. I'm sorry. How many of you like making choices? How many of you realize I don't like it, but I have to do it anyways? Yes. God made us with these ways. God gave us the emotions. He gave us joy and sadness. The Bible says that even though our sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. So he realizes we are an emotional beings. Jesus even cried because he didn't want to do the death on the cross. But he said, yet not my will, but yours be done. We have an intellect. God made us with intelligence. Some of us, like my wife, are smarter than others, like myself. And that's okay. God made us that way. He wants us to grow and become greater in that area. But he also gave us the choice. Why did God have all these things? Because God wants us to choose him. Because if we didn't choose God, if we were already made to love him, we would just be robots. There would be no artificial intelligence. It would just be none. So God wants us to have the choices. And then in our spirits, the part of us that makes us unique. Back in Genesis chapter 2, God breathed life or spirit into humanity. Romans 8 talks a lot about our spirit. So Jesus is talking about these areas of ourselves, that we are to love God with our physical being, that we are to love God with our emotions, that we are to love God with our intellect, we are to love God through our choices and in our spirit. Oftentimes when we think love, we just think emotions. Woohoo, this feels so good, yay. But even in that, God doesn't want just our emotional love. God wants our intellectual love, thinking through in the process. And God wants us our love through our physical being. How can I do things for God? And making the choices. Where heart, soul, and mind direct how we feel and what we do. Might or strength is the force that determines the extent of that. What Jesus has done is give a commandment that encompasses the first four of the Ten Commandments, which all concern how we interact with God. And in the third part of Jesus' answer, to love others, to love our neighbors as ourselves, he brings in the last six. So in doing so, Jesus, he reveals that God's laws are not meant to control us. They are meant to describe what it means to love. Do you understand that? What we see as rules to control, God sees as guideposts and rails to direct and help us to learn to love. That we are to love God and love others. Knowing and understanding God helps us realize he's not a God of rules and regulations. He's a God of love and justice, yes, but also mercy. Discipline, yes, but love. It's truth, mercy, and grace all together. So first we have to know God. That then leads to learning how to love God. And lastly, we cannot know how to properly love others if we don't first love God. Loving others fulfills all parts of the law which don't relate to God. When loving others, we don't steal from them, we don't murder, we don't lie, we don't cheat. But we also do things. We care for people in needs. We protect vulnerable women. We don't kidnap and sell people into slavery. While the Old Testament identifies who these others are as our neighbors or people or our people, our tribe, or my brother or sister or our family members, Jesus then took that and added a giant twist and said, hey folks,
our neighbors, the others that we're supposed to love, aren't just the immediate people that we have in our life. We're to even go so as far as to love our enemies. We get that from the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable there. So I'm going to wrap up. I've gone over today. The scribe, yeah, said this. He said, yep, Jesus, you're right. You're right. That is the greatest commandment. And it's even greater than burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now I can imagine some of the other teachers and the other Jews in the room letting out a giant, it's like the oxygen just got sucked out of the room for a moment. Loving God is greater than sacrifices? But we have to sacrifice. The supremacy, I like how this commentary said this. The supremacy of love to offerings and sacrifices is well established in the Old Testament. God established the sacrificial system to cover the sins of the Israelites and allow them a ceremonial outlet with which to show their thankfulness. But the sacrificial system would be all but unnecessary if they just obeyed the law. And the ultimate point of the law is to show them how they are to love God and others. These folks got so caught up in just following the rules that they forgot, or they just didn't grasp and understand, these rules are to help us to love God and others. And Jesus was saying, yeah, you're right. We basically could do away with our sacrifices if we all followed this. And Jesus, man, this guy was so close. He was almost there. He almost had the first prize. Jesus recognized it, that this guy was almost there to knowing who God really was. He just needed to make Jesus the Lord of his life. This guy didn't ask a question to try to be mean to Jesus, to try to trip him up. It's probably just a very, man, Jesus, I have a curious question. I know 613 laws. Which one's the number one in your opinion? This guy probably had his own opinion. When Jesus said, hey, I want you to know God. I want you to love God. I want you to love others. I was like, yeah, that's right. That's how we need to do it. Church, that's what we're to do. It's what God has called us to do. Every single one of us, whether you hear the call or not, whether you answer the call or not, God wants you to know him. As I said earlier, he's standing at the door of your heart, knocking, waiting for you to answer. Hey, I want to get to know you. Not every journey of love starts with a head over heels kind of love. There are journeys that take time of learning and understanding and growing in the relationship, and that's okay. That's why we like to refer to this as a spiritual journey, because we are all on a journey together. Paul even refers to the spiritual journey and talking about how it's a race, that some of us are farther ahead, closer to the finish line than others. Whether you are in the beginning part of your journey, just learning how to run and trying to understand what it is to run with Jesus and who Jesus is and how he wants you to run before you ever even commit into that love, that is not a problem. God wants you to get to know him this morning. So I have three takeaways for you in this morning. Number one, God desires a relationship with you. He wants you to begin to know him. Now, I've often heard it that we as a church are so, not just Stockholm community, but we as a church as a whole, big C, church around the world, we're so good at saying, hey, you need to know God and love. You need to get to know who God is. But yet we also don't provide the pathways to get there. So this morning, I want to provide a pathway for you to get to know God just a little bit more. So this QR code, again, is going to take you to our link tree. There's a lot of things on there, but I believe it's the bottom tab on that link tree is our Right Now Media.
It is a resource that is available to you for free, where you can check out a variety of devotionals and intellectual resources to help you grow and understand who God is. Whether you want to grow in your faith because you already know him, or whether you want to just kick the tires, start the journey, start this run and see, is this a run that I want to be a part of? There's all kinds of resources and tools available on this tool, this app called Right Now Media. So I encourage you, if you have not scanned this QR code to get a hold of that resource, it's going to stay up here. Please take advantage of that. I want you to get to know God. I don't want you to just come to church on a Sunday morning and this is the only time that you learn about who God is. If you struggle with your devotional time, if you struggle reading the Bible or praying, use this resource. Put on a video. There's videos that are 5 minutes. There's some that are 10, some are 15 minutes. Read, watch these things. There's study questions with a lot of them as well to help you grow and dig deeper and understand who God is. Don't just take my word on a Sunday morning for it. Dig deeper, understand, and know who God is. And then number two, my desire is that you would lean into his love to then love him back. As you grow in your knowledge of who God is, lean in to love. I know with my teenager, sometimes when I'm talking to her, I know if she's receptive to me or not. If she's not receptive, she's oftentimes sitting back like this, right? We even see this as adults. But if someone is sitting there leaning forward, when we're engaged in a conversation at the cafe, if their body posture is oftentimes leaning forward, it means they are all in. They're bought in. They're curious. They want to know more. They're engaged. I encourage you, church, if you have not already done so, lean in to God's love. Lean in and allow yourself to be embraced and engaged by his love. And then third, I want you to lean into his love and allow that love he has for you to help you love others. I've said it before, this is a city of 2 million people, this entire area, 2 million individuals. Less than 1% actually love Jesus. Megan, if you want to come play something. Less than 1% actually know who Jesus is. So out of 2 million people, that's less than 20,000 individuals. If we had a room of 100 people in here, not one of them would know Jesus. We'd have to get 1,000 people to have one person. Now, I come from a culture where if you had 100 people, you probably get 20 to 30. That love Jesus. So it's a struggle. The struggle is real here in this country. Sometimes to be excited about our faith and about who we are because we feel so isolated and alone. That's why it's important that we continue to meet on a regular basis, as Paul encourages us to do. Meet together regularly so you can receive encouragement. It wasn't so you can receive Bible teaching. It was encouragement about living life outside of that realm. We have to love other people. The world already knows so much hate. We have to love others. The world will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Church, I want to challenge you, if you are not being a good example of love towards other people, take a moment this morning, repent, say, God, forgive me. Help me to love others the way you have loved me. Because that's our desire, is that we grow here in Stockholm. Whether God sees fit that our church grows to be 5,000, or God sees fit that people keep coming in, learning what love is, and then going somewhere else and plugging in at another place because that's where God wants them. I don't care. Yeah, some days I do. But the majority of the time, I don't care. I want God to use me the way He wants. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like a year from now, but I know I want to be faithful today to love people today. Because we also don't know what tomorrow holds. So church, I want to encourage you as we take 2 minutes to respond to these takeaways. Maybe you need to start the journey to know who God is. Maybe you know who He is and you need to lean into His love and love Him back. Maybe you need to just really learn to love others the way He loves you. So we're going to take about 2 minutes to do that. If you'd like some prayer this morning, I will be here. Then I'll come up in a word of prayer, close us out. And then Elisa has a few more words to add regarding loving others today. Everyone's eyes closed out of respect for those around. If you're in this morning and say, you know what, I need to start learning what it is to know Him. I want to begin knowing who God is. If that's you, please raise your hand. I would like to help you on that journey this morning. Is there anyone here? Second, is there anyone here that would say, you know what, I've come to learn and know who He is. And I want to lean into the love that He has for me by loving Him back. I want to begin or reestablish my relationship with Him. If that's you, just raise your hand. And last, maybe you're here this morning saying, you know what, Pastor Brandon, I need to love others better. Can you pray for me this morning? If that's you, raise your hand. Father, just come to You this morning. God, thank You for the opportunity to hear Your word today. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are here this morning, Lord, that long to grow in their knowledge of You. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would reveal Yourself to them. Even before they began a relationship with You, that You would reveal Yourself to them. That they'd come to know and understand who You are. And how great and wonderful and mighty You are. Lord, I pray for those that have understood You and need to lean back in or lean in for the first time into Your love and love You back. Father, speak to them. Let them know. Let them feel, sense that You are loving them this morning. And God, those that have said, yes, I need to do a better job at loving other people. Holy Spirit, you were sent here by the Heavenly Father to be our aid, to help us in these areas. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that we would open ourselves up to You and allow You to speak more to us. That when we hear Your voice, we would be quick to obey. Quick to obey. Thank You, Father God, for Your love. Thank You for Your joy. Thank You, Jesus, that You simplified it all for us, this complex issue. the greatest thing that we as an individual can do is to get to know you, fall in love with you, and allow that love to be shared with others. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. We love you, Jesus. I ask these things in your name.